Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You are flying high with Locked On Eagles, presented by LockedOnEagles.com. We are your daily source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kiss. You can follow my work at Inside the Pylon, Breaking Football, and Grandstand Sports Network. Follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kiss. That's K-I-S-T. As always, I am joined by the best co-host in the game, Mr. 7-Year Streak Without a Bad Day. Dude, I'm just joyful right now. He's Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. Follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Hey, Ben, I know the streak is intact right now because we came away with a crazy win. How you doing, brother?
Wow. I can tell you there hasn't been an Eagle game like that in recent memory. In a long, long time, there has not been a game like that. I mean, we talked about it on the show saying this was the biggest game of the Wentz-Peterson era, and whoo, did they deliver. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
Dude, we were talking before the show, and I said, I haven't felt this way, this stressed out about an Eagles game in such a long time, and I've been through a lot with this team. And what is your little quirk? I want the listeners to know.
Oh, yeah. No, so I stress clean, and I stress organize, and I stress fold. And essentially, I can't, like, if I'm not multitasking while the game is going on, I get too stressed out, I get too engaged, and so I have to be doing other things. So, like, I mean, I already keep my living space pretty clean, but everything is spotless right now. I refolded all of my t-shirts. They didn't need to be refolded. I just kind of needed something to do. It was a very, oh my gosh. Oh, yep. I'm still emotionally recovering. Are we ready to say second best team in the NFL though? Are you ready to say it?
Dude, you're catching me so off the cuff right now.
I'm ready to say it. I said it.
I think right now, man, first, let's recap. In case you missed it and you're living under a rock, 28-23, the Eagles take a big win over the Carolina Panthers on a short week on the road, which is huge, man, because we talked about the road struggles forever. I want to say, dude, I don't want to complain about the referees. You know what I mean? I don't want that.
Oh, I'll do that.
Yeah, you'll take care of that. I don't want to do that. I know there were some bad calls, and you're going to get those. The sign of a good team is a team that can recover from things and continue playing when things are obviously not going their way. Is that fair, Ben?
Right. No. That's the important takeaway. Complaining about the refs doesn't change nothing. it was frustrating. I've always been frustrated with Jalen Mills, and he, you know, got picked on a little bit there and everything like that. That delay of game, roughing the passer debacle was absurd. Yeah. And then, you know, you've got no calls as well that don't get recognized. In any game where the turnover split ends up with one team having a penalty for 1 yard and the other team having, well, I'm looking at it right now, is what, 10 penalties for 126?
Yeah.
I think it was
121, 126, yeah. Something like that.
No, 10 for 126. Okay. In any game, regardless of which team, the team for which you're rooting, that level, that split means some calls were missed and some calls were whatever. You know, like the consistency is what's bothersome. But no, I absolutely agree with you in the sense that those two Jalen Mills pass interference penalties, both of those got Carolina down in the red zone. Only field goals off of both of those. We talked about how poor Carolina's red zone offense was on the show, and it showed again. They kicked, they had 23 points. They kicked, what is that, three field goals, four field goals? Three.
And like I was saying, as far as the refs go, the game's going against you. You end up getting a W. That's what should happen. And I hate, and regardless of this game, coming into this one, I absolutely hate Pete Morelli's crew. So I don't want to make it seem like I'm trying to like just dismiss the penalties because I thought there were some bad calls. I don't want that to be the takeaway from this. So, okay, let's go back. All right, let's travel back in time to the first quarter. So we started off no huddle early in the game. Aguilar sat behind a linebacker in the slot.
That was a pretty throw.
He was able to extend, and him and Wentz seemed on the same page. And then you get Peppers beating Big V for a sack fumble. So that turnover is on Vitae for that, and also maybe Wentz for holding on to the ball a little bit too long. But
yeah, I mean, he triple clutched.
Yeah. Yeah, and you got to see what he was seeing on the all 22, but it seemed like he definitely was holding on for too long. Eagles defense came out strong, man. Got the three and out. Yeah, Bradham played well. Bradham played lights out this game. absolutely lights out.
Hicks goes out. Kendricks and Bradham pick up 26 total tackles combined. That's nuts.
That's
man.
Crazy. And then as you move on through the game in the second drive, the Eagles, Aguilar had another drop for the second straight week. Aguilar had a drop, and then the very next snap, Wentz goes back to him, hauls it in, and later in the game, Aguilar scores a touchdown on that slant, which, oh my God, dude, I'm going to fast forward. I don't care. At the end of the game, we have a chance to put it away, right? We try to do it with Blunt. We get stuffed on second down. They are blitzing on third down. Aguilar is covered by literally no one, nothing but grass. And Wentz tries to fit it into Ertz when he probably had a better option with Alshon and definitely had a better option with Aguilar.
Yeah. Let's
talk about Wentz a little bit, what you thought about him in the game, because I thought he outplayed Cam Newton. And it wasn't close.
Unquestionably.
Yeah, exactly.
Unquestionably, for sure. Yeah, and he had, you know, that after he came out of that initial fumble, first couple of drives afterward, he was jittery. He was missing high. He needed to settle down on the road after an early turnover under a ton of pressure, right? And it took him a couple of drives to get to a place where he seemed like he was set in his zone. But I've found myself now the last few weeks, there's a point in the game where I just end up tweeting, dealing, like just the word dealing, where Carson gets to a point where he is just dealing. I know I've talked a lot saying, oh, you know, Los Angeles was Carson's best game doing this and Arizona was his best game doing that. The long touchdown drive the Eagles had there at the end of that game, big throw to Jeffrey there, you know what I'm talking about? Then the slant to Aguilar. That's the best drive I've ever seen from Carson Wentz. He couldn't have been putting the balls in better spots, man. I mean, that was unbelievable. And we bickered a little bit about that throw to Alshon and, you know, that release and everything because, man, I mean, we talked about it, you know, I wanted Alshon to take over this game. He saw 10 targets, only had 4 receptions for 71 yards, and half of that came on the 37-yarder, which Wentz literally put that on it.
It was beautiful. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, he would have had the other one, and we argued about it too, where if the ball got put in the basket on the one that should have been, for those listening, and again, I'm not going to complain about the refs, but you could have called pass interference on that where Alshon got his inside arm chopped. Mm-hmm. I want to see that one again. He dropped it. It wasn't called PI, unfortunately. I don't know if maybe Alshon could have done a better job with chopping with his inside arm to make sure that he was on top of things, or whether he could have shown later hands. I don't know. I thought Alshon had a good game. I thought he was getting the releases he wanted early in the game. We missed him a couple of times, especially early in those first couple of drives. And we'll see with the all 22 what we both think about it. So we'll revisit that. What I want to talk about first, okay, Wentz in the red zone, where he went through his progressions, looked right, came back to the middle of the field, and just fired a beauty from, what was it, the 2-yard line, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
Once he settled in, like you said, he had those early game jitters. Wentz looked calm and composed, and that was to Ertz, and that put it at 10-10, so we were down at that point. Going into half after that, a really bizarre, and I want your thoughts on this, a bizarre series, 10-10, right, end of the half,
yeah,
a bizarre series for Carolina to end the half. A Cox sack put them out of field goal range. Cox played out of his mind. Bradham caught Cam in bounds for a scramble, and the Panthers showed zero urgency with time going under 30 seconds. They didn't work the sidelines well. They ended up with, 5 seconds to go with a potential 58-yard field goal, and instead they threw a 25-yard seam route. What was happening on that series? Because I could not make heads or tails of what Carolina was doing.
I'll answer your question with a question. There are 10 other players on that offense besides Cam Newton. Who does Cam Newton trust?
Jeez.
Right, I mean, you've got his longtime center, Khalil, is out of this game, right? His tackle, Norwell and Trey Turner are good tackles, are good guards. They're playing well, but they were struggling all game, as you could have seen coming with Jernigan and Cox playing the way they were. Tackles have been struggling. And then, you know, Kelvin Benjamin had his by far best game of the season so far. He hasn't really been that strong. Devin Funchess has kind of been a guy for the past couple
of
weeks.
And Benjamin still had some drops.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, Jonathan Stewart isn't as juiced as he was. Christian McCaffrey yeah. you know, he's new and he isn't, you know, necessarily seeing the production just yet. So, on that 2-minute offense, you kind of need to be gelling, right? You need to know where you want to go and how you want to do it. It's got to be that fine-tuned machine. And it just doesn't seem to me like Cam Newton trusts the people on his offense. Now, I will tell you on the flip side of that, you've got Nigel Bradham making an insane tackle inside of, you know, the boundary and everything like that. You know, kind of coming into the game, when I was going through the film, I said, you know, one of the reasons why I'm so comfortable about this is because I think the Philadelphia defense can really hold down that rushing attack of Carolina, right? They can really disrupt at the line of scrimmage, prevent Carolina from staying on schedule as they move down the field. And now you're forcing Cam to throw the football and to make that a pass first offense, which it's not. And as they said on the broadcast, Cam Newton, 52 pass attempts, by far the most he ever had in a game, right? And meanwhile, you've got the rushing stats. Curtis Samuel has one rush for 8 yards. McCaffrey has four rushes for 8 yards. Jonathan Stewart has eight rushes for -4 yards, right? It was abysmal. They had 80 total yards on the ground. 71 of those came from Cam, right? The story of this game was the front four penetrating like no tomorrow, disrupting the entire backfield. Carolina's offense couldn't consistently put together drives. Yeah.
And I think I must have said it four or five times on Twitter. Carolina was definitely afraid to run inside against the Eagles, especially early. And when they tried it later on, it did not work. And when they tried their tosses and all this fancy stuff, it did not work. They got bailed out of a lot of drives. Cam played bad. He could have had anywhere from 5 to 7 turnovers that game. You want to talk about turnover-worthy throws when it comes to Carson Wentz? Sure. Cam was bad in that respect. And we'll hit on some of the main points here. So, okay, Ertz gets the gets another touchdown in the beginning of the second half where we go up 16-10. I want your opinion on this because on the extra point, if I'm not mistaken, there was a penalty.
Yeah, they were covering the center.
Right, they covered the center. Then Peterson basically runs out to the field and says, no, we want to go for it. What do you think about that call? And we ended up getting the two-point conversion with a run straight up the middle with Blunt, which I absolutely loved. Like, you got on the 1 yard line.
Oh, yeah.
We spread it out a little bit and had a letterbox, and Blunt ended up punching in there. We spread it out just a little bit. Blunt put it in. So, what do you think about the call to go for it on two?
Yeah, no, I'll tell you something right now. When I've got a 250-pound running back who hates people and the ground, you know, it's not much. That's, you know, once I get the ball at the 1 yard line, yeah, to me, that's a no brainer. I love the way that, you know, we kind of, Doug was crucified during the Giants game for some of the fourth down decisions that he made, yeah. And then you've got, now there's just this just zeitgeist, this gestalt of Eagle fans. Just anytime it's even questionable, it might go for it. Just all Twitter, go for it, Doug. Yeah. Do it. Right? It's just like, you went for a 4th and 8. Now it's just whenever you want, man. Do your thing. No, I thought that was a fantastic call. Absolutely giving it to LeGarrette Blount there. I thought the Eagles did move away from the run a little bit earlier than I wanted them to in the third and the beginning of the fourth. Eagles had 2 third and 3 and outs in this game. Both of them were 3 straight passes from Wentz. And when he's being pressured as much as he is, yeah, I mean, I really think that you have to, you know, you can look at a draw, you can look at a screen, which we saw a shockingly few number of screens for a Doug Peterson-led offense. But I thought that would have really benefited Philadelphia there as far as taking the edge off of that pass rush and taking some more time off of the clock. They seem very committed to Blunt getting right around 15 touches a game. He had 14 runs for 67 yards. And they also seem to really want to keep him fresh for the end of the game to try to run out the clock.
Which, within the Cardinals game, they didn't play him too much in the first half, and they utilized him a lot in the second half. So it seems like that's something that they're kind of tinkering with, you know what I mean? Okay,
right,
so we'll go to the next drive. So on the next Panther drive, the Panthers get bailed out on interception, and I'm going to let you complain about this, Ben, because I don't want to make this the focus of the show. But it was a bad call on Mills. I'm sorry, but if Curtis Samuel is so bad at tracking the ball that he's not trying to come back and fight for it, and Mills has his arm on the front shoulder, you're rewarding bad throws and bad plays on the ball with worse calls. Panthers got a field goal out of it, right? And I think they got like a total of, I think you tweeted out like a total of 13 points off penalties.
3 drives, 13 points. Yeah.
So I, for one, was upset about it. Like I said, you got to overcome those things and win.
Well, let me tell you right now. Before, like 3 hours ago, there was never a game in NFL history where one team had over 120 yards over penalties and the other team had less than 10. Had never happened in history before. First time tonight. So, yay, record-setting games. Unbelievable. No, that, and I don't know the rule, but there should definitely be a consideration for, well, if the ball is picked off, it's no longer catchable.
Right.
Yeah, like if that ball was 5 yards past Curtis Samuel, as you were alluding to with you know, bad placement, that's not called. Well, the ball's 3 yards short and ends up being caught by somebody else. That doesn't mean it was catchable for Samuel, because it wasn't.
And Samuel wasn't even trying to come back to the ball. If anything, Mills was helping him slow down.
Right, which is ridiculous. Did you see, though, and I'm going to tell you right now, I think Rasul Douglas is playing some doggone good football on the boundary. I mean, and I've said it every time I've talked about Rasul, because everybody knows I'm a big Rasul fan. He's a feast or famine guy. He's going to have bad plays. He is. But he makes some great plays. That almost, you know, interception there was heartbreaking. That's a tough ask for a corner. It's tough to make those over-shoulder catches. But did you see at the end of the game, right? So that fourth down throw, they throw it to McCaffrey. All the Eagles start signaling incomplete, right? And Douglas is going towards the line judge, you know, incomplete, incomplete, waving. He's got huge arms, incomplete. And the ref runs in and gives him the incomplete signal. And Douglas just goes and smacks him on the butt.
I saw
just
that.
Hit, like, he was asking for the penalty. And he was asking for the call incomplete. The ref gives it to him and Douglas just turns and whacks him right on a cheek. It was so funny.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.
All right, so some points of controversy. We'll go on with the same theme. And I love Rasul Douglas, man. Like you said, he's going to give up some plays. He is raw. And I saw the same thing at the Senior Bowl practices when they were doing individual drills. He was inconsistent with his leverage and things like that. But I love the guy. I love the way that his competitiveness is off the charts. And I think he's a good fit in the city. When we get Sidney Jones back, which, by the way, might be sooner than we think, and we get Ronald Darby back, we actually might have a heck of a secondary and a young secondary at that, which is going to be dangerous.
Oh, no, absolutely. If you have not Patrick Robinson starting, if you have Mills, Darby, and Sidney Jones starting, right, and then assuming you have Derek Barnett starting over Vinnie Curry, which is like a gray area because who knows who's starting there. And hey, Barnett, first career sack, little golf clap for Derek Barnett. It was a cleanup sack. It was not high quality at all. I do not want to hear it. Yeah, it was effort, but that's good. If you've got those guys playing, Philadelphia's average age on defense is younger than 25, which is one of the youngest in the league by far.
And let's not throw
shade. And they're playing this well.
Yeah, let's not throw shade on Patrick Robinson either, because he was absolutely clutch this game. He cleaned up the muff from Barner and then made a big play later on as well. So, okay, I wanted to go back to my original point. Okay, at the end of the game, there were some points of controversy on the same drive. Okay, so there was McLeod letting up or not, maybe, on the cam slide that they didn't call. I thought he let up. Like, he started to act like he was going to hit him, and then he kind of stopped, and it wasn't a hit at all. I don't think it was malicious, so I'm okay with the no call there. There was the late whistle on the delay or not, Cam flopping or not with Barnett coming into him, and then Cam in or not on the touchdown. And the touchdown call didn't end up mattering or whatever, and I'm not upset about that. What did you think about that little stretch there? Do you think it was called? Do you think it was just incompetence overall by the officiating crew? Because it felt like that to me in that small part of the game. I had issues with a lot of other things, but in that part, I felt that McLeod led up, and I thought that was fine. I thought there was a late whistle, and I thought it was kind of unfair, but I could see why they would call him on Barnett. I thought Cam was in, and I thought they missed that.
I'll put it to you this way. Thank God the Eagles won, because I think that the majority of people watching, Panthers fans, Eagle fans, and just NFL fans alike, would say the Eagles outplayed the Panthers.
Right.
And so in a game where there's a lot of controversial calls and just a lot of 50-50 stuff and ticky-tack and people disagree on what is what, thank God the Eagles won, because you don't want the Panthers to win, and now you have a situation where it feels as if the team that outplayed, the team that played better, is in the case of losing. Yeah, the Cam touchdown is the one that interests me a lot, because they always talk about, you know, do we have enough video evidence to overturn? And I feel like if you make it composite, if you say, all right, so at this point, this is where his hand touches. Now, if I move to this camera angle, you know, but I don't know how replays go. And at the end of the day, they went and scored on the next gosh darn play.
Right.
And so, you know, that's not a problem. Now, the McLeod thing, what I saw was a player who really, really tried hard not to hit his head on anything and not to hit the other dude's head. Right. And let's just give McLeod a W for that, right? And he definitely shouldn't be making contact to quarterbacks as they slide, but Cam's known for trying to draw that in. Like, that is a known thing that Cam Newton tries to do as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, all that stuff is, it's all difficult. And, you know, at the end of the day, Eagles win.
Yeah.
The team that played better came home with the W. Good stuff.
Yeah, you know what? The next time, watch Cam start to act like he's going to slide and then lower his shoulder, and then you're going to be like, well, okay, I can see why he doesn't get that call. All right, so Nelson Aguilar, man, what are they doing disrespecting him by putting Shaq Thompson on him on that touchdown that put us up two scores? The Panthers must be part of draft Twitter with the way that they treated Aguilar with that kind of disrespect. Are you starting? Because he's got four touchdowns, dude. Are you more impressed with Aguilar than you are with Jeffrey?
Oh, you know I am. You knew by the look on my face. And that was the bomb I was going to drop on you if you didn't ask me. But I'll tell you right now, in an offense, And with a quarterback play style that's more advantageous to Aguilar's style of play and where Aguilar succeeds than it is with Jeffrey, which we've always said, that they're like, you know, and like, can this offense bear a wide receiver one outside, you know, go route, catch, contested catch, 50 ball sort of guy? Can this offense bear that guy? I've not seen anything to make me believe that. What I do know is that if you have an effective slot receiver, this offense can hum and can give him incredible production. And that's what we saw from Aguilar. I think that five games from now, that third down ball where Aguilar was not covered on the slant at all goes to Aguilar right away, right? I think that the more and more Aguilar puts together games like this, and my prediction, I had Aguilar for 6 receptions, 96 yards and a touchdown. That's what I expected from him. He went 4 for 55 and a touchdown. The safeties were injured. You know, you had 2 safeties out for Carolina. And they've got Captain Munnerlyn, who's old, but he's savvy and he's kind of a decent slot corner. And you saw him on Aguilar a little bit, that early third down where Munnerlyn pressed him really well and Wentz was a little bit high on the throw and Aguilar wasn't open. Like, you know, Munnerlyn played him well there. But when you're depleted with the safeties, now you've got to start using a linebacker. And Shaq Thompson is a little bit of a hybrid on Aguilar. Yeah, I mean, Aguilar's going to take that every day of the week. And talking just about the mental game, Aguilar's riding as high as Carson Wentz and as high as anybody on this offense right now. You know, he just clearly believes in himself and his role now, and that's huge. We're not even talking about the fact that we saw very little Torrey Smith, 1 reception for 6 yards, and instead you have Mac Hollins with 2 third down conversion receptions across the middle. Got to make sure that injury is okay, though, because he went down with a hammy.
Yeah, and Marcus Johnson had a role to play as well on a first down conversion. Dude, I was just impressed with this team overall to overcome all the things that we're talking about. Now, that's why I didn't want to focus on the penalties too much. You have things go against you in the season. That's going to happen. This team showed the mental toughness to get through it, to get through the struggles, and get the job done. And look, I'm a believer now because that was a really solid performance from Whistle to Whistle. You know, and we talked about it beforehand, man. Mike, do you buy it? And I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. And on a short week,
we gotta have a little reconciliation there, my guy, because you know you picked those Panthers and you took the under, and that makes you 0-2.
It's a good thing I didn't put money on the under. And I still have to delete that previous episode so I can put that pre-recorded
stuff. Yeah, that's right. Hurry up and go listen to the Thursday episode before Mike deletes it, where I tell you to take the over and that the Eagles are going to cover, which they do.
Yeah. So what we're going to be doing throughout the throughout next week, because we have a long week ahead of us, we're going to have some time to go more in depth. We talked about before the show that we wanted to hit on the major points and just the raw emotion of the game, because we're recording right after the game. We're going to bring a more level-headed approach as we approach this next game, really delve into the tape and the nuances of this Carolina Panthers Philadelphia Eagles game. But we also at the same time are human beings. We wanted to enjoy this win, and man, it feels good. Ben, do you have any closing thoughts for the gentle listeners?
I have a question for you, and then I'll answer it too. Moving forward, 5-1, have 2 very winnable games, have a 3-game home stretch coming up for Philadelphia. Just moving forward, looking forward, obviously the Eagles, kind of the driver's seat of the NFC East, arguably the driver's seat of the NFC. I'm saying they're the second best team in the league. I'm saying they're the best team in the NFC right now. They're the class of the NFC. You're not being noncommittal, whatever, it's fine. Moving forward, rest of the season, if you have one thing about which you're concerned for this Eagles team, kind of the one thing you're worried about for them facing top-tier competition moving forward, what is it?
Just consistency.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the pieces are there, and then you get some of that defensive backfield back, possibly with Sidney Jones, definitely with Ronald Darby. Just consistency with the game plan, with the rushing attack, and seeing it on a week-to-week basis, because we still have to see what this team does with this success. Do we have those letdown games where you play a team? You know, we see it every year with the Steelers, too, and that's why I always kind of doubt them a little bit, because you'll see them lose to the Browns or someone like that when they have no business doing it whatsoever. So how they handle the success, it's one part, okay, to get over the hump of being a team with talent that loses close football games consistently to being a team with talent that doesn't play down to competition consistently,
right?
But this team played up with the Carolina Panthers tonight and played much better. So I am, contrary to what you're saying, I'm going to go ahead and say that they're playing like the best team in the NFC right now.
Hey, welcome, Mike.
They are clearly in the driver's seat in the NFC East, because word just came down that Ezekiel Elliott, his suspension.
Ooh, we didn't even talk about that, man, too much.
Yeah, his suspension is coming, man, and so are the Eagles. And to hear our thoughts continuing throughout this season, you're going to have to keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Ka-ka.
It's not. That's not an eagle.
I do it every time.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.